Hello. Thanks for joining me. This is Indigo Miles. Here to read you something before you go to bed. I have a few scripts selected for you from a book that I got at the store today. And I just kind of wanted to read something so you can fall asleep. I know it can be so hard to lay in your bed all alone. So, why don't you stay and get comfortable? Lay down with me as I read to you. Okay. This is called K. Gibbons from Ellen Foster. 1. When I was little, I would think of ways to kill my daddy. I would figure it out this or that way and run it down through my head until it got easy. The way I liked best was letting go a poisonous spider in his bed. It would bite him, and he'd be dead and swollen up, and I would shudder to find him so. Of course, I could call the rescue squad and tell them, "Come quick, something's the matter with my daddy." And when they come in the house, I'm all in a state of shock and just don't know how to act. What with two colored boys heaving my dead daddy onto a roller cot. I just stand in the door and look like I'm shaking all over. But I did not kill my daddy. He drank his own self to death the year after the county moved me out. I heard how they found him shut up in the house dead and everything. Next thing I know, he's in the ground, and the house is rented out to a family of four. All I did was wish him dead real hard every now and then. And I can say for a fact that I'm better off now than I was when he was alive. I live in a clean brick house, and mostly I'm left to myself. When I start to carry an odor, I take a bath and the folks tell me how sweet I look. There is plenty to eat here, and if we run out of something, we just go to the store and get some more. I had me an egg sandwich for breakfast. Mayonnaise on both sides, and I may fix me another one for lunch. 2 years ago, I didn't have much of anything. Not that I lived in a lap of luxury now, but I am proud of the school bus to pick me up here every morning. My stylish, well-groomed self standing in the front yard with the grass green and the hedge bushes square. I figured I made out pretty good considering the rest of my family is either dead or crazy. Every Tuesday, a man comes and gets me out of social studies, and we go to a room and talk about it all. Last week, he spread out pictures of flat bats for me to comment on. I mostly saw flat bats, and then I saw how big holes a body could fall right into. Big, black, deep holes through the table and the floor. And then he took off his glasses and screwed his face up mine, and tells me, "I'm scared." I used to be, but I'm not now, is what I told him. I might get a little nervous, but I'm never scared. Oh, but I do remember when I was scared. Everything was so wrong, like somebody had knocked something loose, and my family was shaking itself to death. Some wild ride broke, and the one in charge strolled off and let us spin and shake and fly off the rail. And they both died, tired of the wild, crazy spinning and wore out and sick. And now you tell me that is not a fine style to die in. She's sick, and he drunk with the moving. They finally gave in to the motion and let the wind take them from here to there. Even my mama's skin looked tired of holding in her weak self. She would prop herself up by the refrigerator and watch my daddy go round the table swearing at all who did him wrong. She looked all sad in her face like it was all her fault. She could not help getting sick, but nobody made her marry him. You see, when she was my size, she had a romantic fever, I think it's called. And since then, she's not had a good heart. She comes home from the hospital sometimes. If I was her, I would just stay there. All laid up in the air conditioning with folks patting your head and bringing you fruit baskets. Oh no. She comes in and he lets into her right away. Carrying on. Set up in his easy lounger like he is king for a day. You bring me this or that, he might say. She comes in the door and he asks about supper right off. What does she have planned? He wants to know. Wouldn't he like to know what I myself have planned? She would look at him square in the face, but not at his eyes or mouth, but at his whole face, and the ugliness getting out through the front. On he goes about supper, and how come weeds are growed up in the yard, more like a big mean baby than a grown man. I got her suitcase in my hand, and I carry it into the bedroom. But while I walk, I listen to him, and to her, not saying a word back to him. She stands between his mean highness and the television set, looking at him make words at her. A big wind-up toy of a man. He is just too sorry to talk back to, even if he is my daddy. And she is too limp and too sore to get up the breath to push the words out to stop it all. She just stands there and lets him work out his evil on her. Get in the kitchen and fix me something to eat. I had to cook the whole time you was gone, he tells her. And that was some lie he made up. Cook for his own self. If I did not feed us both, we had to go into town and get takeout chicken. I myself was looking forward to something fit to eat, but I was not about to say anything. If anybody had asked me what to do, I would have told us both to feed on hoop cheese and crackers. Somebody operated on needs to stay in bed without some husband on their back all the time. But she does not want to go to the bedroom, but turns right back around and goes to the kitchen. What can I do but go and reach the tall things for her? I set that dinner table and like to take a notion to split on his fork. Nobody yells after anybody to do this or that here. My new mama lays out the food and we all take a turn to dish it out. Then we eat and have a good time. Toast or biscuits with anything you please, eggs any style, corn cut off the cob the same day we eat it. I keep my elbows off the table and wipe my mouth like a lady. Nobody barks, farts, or feeds the dogs under the table here. When everybody is done eating, my new mama puts the dishes in a sink, shuts the door, cuts it on, and voila, they're clean. My mama does not say a word about being tired or sore. She did ask who kept everything so clean, and he took the credit. I do not know who he thinks he fooled. I know he lied. My mama did too. She just asked to be saying something. Mama puts the food out on the table, and he wants to know what I'm staring at. At you humped over your plate like one of us is about to snatch it from you, you old hog. But I don't say it. Why don't you eat? He wants to know. I don't have an appetite, I say back. Well, you better eat. Your mama looks like this might be her last supper. He is just so sure he's funny that he laughs at his own self. All the time I look at him and at her and try to figure out why he hates her so bad. When he is not looking, I give him the evil eye. And my mama looks like she could crawl under the table and cry. We leave his nasty self at the table and go to bed. She is sore all up through her chest and bruised up the neck. It makes me want to turn my head. We peel her dress off over in the head and slip on something loose to sleep in. I help her get herself laid in the bed, and then I slide in beside her. She just turns her head into the pillow. I'll stay here with you. just for a nap. I'll stay here with you. Now, at my new mama's, I lay up late in the day and watch the rain fall outside. Not one thing is pressing on me to get done here. I have a bag of candy to eat on, one piece at a time. Make it last. All I got left to do is eat supper and wash myself. I look around my room, and it's so nice. When I accumulate enough money, I plan to get some colored glass things that you could dangle from the window glass. I lay here and feature how that would look. I already got a pink checkerboard curtains with dingle bells around the edges. My new mama sewed them for me. She also sewed matching sacks that I cram my pillows into every morning. Everything matches. It is all so neat and clean. When I finish laying here with these malted milk balls, I will smooth the covers down and generally clean up after myself. Maybe then I will play with the other people. But I might just lay here until the chicken frying smells ready to eat. I do not know if she hears him go out the back door. She is still enough to be asleep. He goes off in the truck like he has some business to tend to. And you know, and I know, he's gone to get himself something to drink. Then he brings it into his house like he is Santa Claus. He sets his package beside his chair, and then he eases his lazy self into place, yelling at somebody, meaning myself, to turn on the television set. I could chew nails and spit on tacks. The yelling makes my mama jump, and if she was asleep, she's awake now. Grits her teeth every time he calls out, damn this or that. The more he drinks, the less sense he makes. By the time the dog races comes on, he's stretched out on the bathroom floor and can't get up. I know I need to go in there and poke him. Same thing every Saturday. This week in particular, she does not need to find some daddy hog rooted up against the toilet stool. I get up and I go in there, and I tell him to get up, that folks gotta come in here and do their business. He can go lay in the truck. He just grunts, grabs at my ankles, and misses. Get on up, I say to him. You gotta be firm when he is like this. He lay there and rot if I let him, so I nudge him with my foot. I will not touch my hands to him. Makes me want to heave my own self, seeing him pull himself up on the sink. He zigzags out through the living room, and I guess he makes it out the door. I don't hear him fall down the steps. And where did she come from? Standing in the door, looking at it all. Get back in bed, I say to my mama. Mama's easy to tend to. She goes back in the bedroom. Not a bit of trouble. She's just stiff and hard to move around. I get her back in bed and tell her he's outside for the night. She starts to whimper, and I say, it's no reason to cry. But she will wear herself out crying. I ought to lock him up. A grown man that should be bringing her food to nibble on and books to look at. No, but he is taking care of his own self tonight, just like she is not sick or kin to him. A storm is coming up, and I will lay here with my mama until I see her chest rise up and sink down regular, deep and regular and far away from the man in the trunk. I can smell the storm and see the air thick with the rain coming. He will sleep through the thunder and rain. And oh, how I have my rage and desire for the lightning to come and strike a vengeance on him. But I don't control the clouds or the thunder, and the way the Lord moves is his business. too. When it is morning, I hear my daddy come in the house. He does not sneak. If he had a horse, he would have ridden upright the steps. He has forgotten last night, and he is foolish enough to think we have to. My mama has got her own self out of bed. I must have slept hard not to hear her. All my clothes are on that I wore yesterday. It will save me some trouble this morning. He's got her in the kitchen by herself. I know he won't hurt her with his hands. He might throw a cup or a fork at her, but he won't touch her to leave a mark. I try not to leave her by herself with him, not even when they are both asleep in the bed. My baby crib is still up in their bedroom, so I hear them at night. I throw a fit, and I will not stop until I can sleep in the baby bed. He will think twice when I'm around. And I have to see now that the door is shut. There is something in the kitchen I need, so I go in there to get it. She is sitting at one end of the table, and he is sitting at the other end, going through her pocketbook. Some of her heart pills are on the table, rolling around loose, and the bottle is in her lap. Give the bottle to me, and let me put the pills back in it. They cost money, I say to her. That's all the pills she's got left. She took almost the whole goddamn bottle. He looks at her and tells me, vomit them up, Mama. I'll stick my finger down your throat and you can vomit them up. She looks at me and I see she will not vomit. She'll not move. Well, I'll just go to the store and use the telephone. But my daddy says he will kill me if I try to leave this house. All the time I knew he was evil and I did not have the proof. He would kill me and my mama, both with a knife. He looks at the two of us and rubs her pocketbook, patient, like he sits and waits for folks to die all the time. He wants me to put her back in the bed. Hell, all she needs is some sleep, he says. Take her back there and see if she don't sleep it off. And he gave me a guarantee that the pills would not hurt her bad. We will rest some more. The day is early and we need some more rest. I always love to eat a good supper, brush my teeth, and go to bed early. If I'm not sleepy, I can always find something to do. Lately, I lay in the bed and read old books. I told the library teacher I wanted to read everything of some count, so she made me a list. That was 2 years ago, and I'm on the Bronte sisters now. I don't read comic books or the newspaper. I find what news I need off the television. I can hardly tolerate the stories we read for school. Cindy or Lou with the dog or cat, always setting out on some adventure. They might meet a bandit, or they might hop on a freight, but the policeman or the engineer always brings them home when they are still good children. I myself prefer the old stories. When I started my project, I enjoyed the laughing Middle Ages lady that wore the red boots. She was on a trip with a group of people swapping stories, carrying on, slapping each other on the back. What I am reading now is a little fancy for me, but it is on the list. Just men and women sneaking around in a big dark house with one all into the other's business. The library teacher said the author and her sisters wrote the books because in their day they could not go out and get jobs. I bet they were just well off and did not need to work. I could lay here and read all night. I'm not able to fall asleep without reading. You have the time when your brain has nothing constructive to do, so it just rambles. I fool my brain out of that by making it read until it shuts off. I just think it's the best thing to do something right up until you fall asleep. I always want to lay here. And she moves her arm up, and I push my head down by her side. I will crawl in and make room for myself. My heart can be the one that beats, and hers has stopped. Damn him to the bottom of the hell, damn him. What to do now when the spinning starts? People will come, and they will want to know why, and I cannot tell them why. They will not come yet, not for a while. I have her now while she sleeps, but it's just, is not breathing. I do not have to tell him, so let him sit and wonder at the quiet in here. Why is this house so still, and people all over everywhere are glad for the day? Guilty, and held down in his chair by God in the fear of a sweet dead woman. You can rest with me until somebody comes to get you. We will not say anything. We can rest. I despise that dress, and get your hands off me is what she needs to be told. But I push the bathroom door and leave my aunt on the other side and me to myself. Is this my lipstick now? I do not think I should put a dab on to wear it to the church. She would let me, but somebody would say something. Put it back. Put it back just like it was. When I am old, I can come back and wear it. When it's not for play. They didn't need this to dress her up with. Somebody must have got her another stick. She left this one at home, to be sure they don't paint everybody they do business with the same stick. I'll just wash my mouth and sit on the toilet to look. I can see them all through the crack in the door. Everybody I've not seen since last Christmas sitting around, patting their hands together. My daddy is thinking about how good a tall glass of anything would be. Before they all got here, he rounded up all his beer cans and pitched them under the back porch. Somebody must have given him that suit. All he ever wears is gray work outfits. I want to sew a little patch over the pockets that says his name is Bill. He could be like the SO man. Can I help you, ma'am? Check your tires, change your oil, throw a knife at you. All he has done since Sunday morning is open the door for folks and shake his head yes or no. His brother Rudolph put him in the car and took him to town to pick out the coffin. I know when he got there, my mama's sisters chased him off. They are the ones with the taste. He sits there, with both feet on the floor, and his eyes are red, but not from crying. When somebody goes by and leans forward to his ear, he touches them on the shoulder. Still kink. Now quiet. She finally shut him up. And now, I would like to read some poetry for you. This one is called It's Cold Outside. We are an inevitability, because I called it. Like I call the front seat on road trips, I got shotgun. You, the scenery and destination, solve the riddle in my smile on the first try. Didn't have to guess, had the answers to the test, or a copy of the teacher's edition, handed down by an older sibling who took the same class last year. Lashes, like daddy long legs, sweeped out from my cheek. I squint to see you more clearly. Your lips to my ear spoke words woman everywhere been wanting, waiting to hear. Yeah, we're an inevitability. Like growing older, losing baby teeth. You will love me with the same ease that you recite the lyrics of your favorite song. The potential of this is the feeling fifth graders get when snow falls and starts to stick. You are the prospect of a half day of school. I am the free time in the afternoon. Eyes talk too much, so our reflections avoid each other as we let our knees touch. the collective will of a math class can make the snow fall faster. I call this the snow will stick. We have the afternoon to ourselves. What do you want to do with it? Felice Bell first performed in a friend's apartment in New York City. This next one is called Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman, that's me. I walk into a room, just as cold as you please, into a man. The fellows stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joint in my feet. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman. That's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breasts, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman. That's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heels, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need of my care. 'Cause I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman. That's me. I hope you sleep well. Good night.